Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal, tell a friend, and insert funny reason here. Usually my producer puts something there, but she didn't, so you got nothing today. But we are chatting with Rich Lyons from ProServe today. This dude has been a friend of mine. I hate to say it because it makes us both sound old, but I feel like it's been over 10, probably closer to 15 years. Not only that, this guy's in Puerto Rico trying to be on vacation. I had a couple guests bag out and I called Rich and said, dude, I've got a show to release Monday. Please, please come on and act smart for like 20 minutes. And he said he would try to act like he's not half buzzed and give you guys some good action. So Rich is the founder, owner, CEO, grand poobah of ProServe. If you want to reach out and get a hold of him and his team, you can do so at www.pro-serve.com. www.pro-serve.com. Rich, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation.
I gave Rich a script and he's reading off of it. So it's going to be that kind of show. Dude, if you've had a couple Coronas and you're in the Caribbean on the beach, I would expect, you know, a little more laid back Rich. Where's my buddy, Mr. Lyons?
It's all good.
All right. So before we start, I'm going to ask you stupid questions that I know the answer to, but I want to give you a chance to brag on what a freaking genius you are. Because I know you got a big brain. I've loved literally, Rich and I have known each other for 15 years. I've got to watch his business go up and down, and dude is a rock star. So, Rich, please brag a little bit about yourself and tell the world about ProServe.
Okay. I started ProServe about 20 years ago. Prior to that, I was working as a commercial real estate broker. I got to know a lot of different property managers that would award these contracts. Many of the managers were always complaining to me that they couldn't find a good janitorial company, and I thought, well, how hard can that be? So, literally, I went to work for a cleaning company making $6 an hour, which, you know, 20 years ago was pretty good, and for a cleaner. And I kind of learned the business. Actually, I learned what not to do in the business. I kind of started a little business called ProServe, got my first contract, and we were off to the races. In the beginning, by the way, everything I did was through, I subcontracted all the work for the first 2 years.
Okay, cool. And then what?
Today we...
Go ahead.
Well, today we employ about 300 employees. We do about a little over $8 million, and it's a nice Metro Phoenix property, commercial cleaning company. We just stay in Metro Phoenix. We're not looking to go anywhere else. We're not looking to franchise. We're not looking to expand. We just want to stay in our backyard of Phoenix.
And I got to say, one of the big reasons I want to have Rich on, aside from just being a good buddy of mine, I wanted to catch up, is this guy, for having 300 employees, the level of, and again, maybe it's just what you show me when we're friends, but you get to travel and you're stressed out. I'm sure sometimes you're ready to kill some people, but you do pretty good. I know plenty of guys that have had that kind of size organization. You're one of the few that doesn't seem to be homicidal at all, and you kind of have a decent life. Is that true, or is that just a facade you put on for me, buddy?
It's a great facade. It's somewhat true. You have to hire the right people, and you know, again, 20 years of doing this, you get a feel for what's right, and you really got to make sure when you find talent, you do your best to keep it and keep them happy, because that's how you're able to get away and travel. So that back in Phoenix, I get some really good people operating the whole show.
All right. So, which is fantastic. And I've known, I mean, gosh, I think it's been at least a decade. I know it's been a decade.
I think it's about 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you've always been pretty, like, you and I've done some traveling together, and you've always kind of had that ability and lifestyle to, I know you work hard. It's not, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not like Rich is out there, you know, smoking cigars all the live long day, but I've always seen you as work hard, play hard. When you're at work, you work, but when you're not, you get to do some pretty cool stuff.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, that's part of the perk of, if you're going to work your tail off and build up your business, I mean, you got to enjoy it. And you don't want to work 24/7 and not having the show for it. And especially if all your memories are just working, you're messing up.
Perfect. And I promise we're going to get to the part where I give you some coaching, but your story is so fascinating. I want to make sure Cleaning Nation doesn't miss out. So can you tell us a little bit about the transition from, I'll let you break down the numbers, but I'm always kind of telling my clients, you know, running that first, you know, when I don't have any business, I don't have any customers, I'm cleaning everything myself. That is a different skill set than I've got the two or three guys or gals around me that clean. And then you get, you know, a team of around 10, that's different. And then there's kind of just stages. Can you just give us a little 30 or 60 second kind of summary of what your take is on each stage and what had to change for you to move from, you know, single operator to small employees, to a few more employees, to 50 employees, you know, kind of just walk us through that.
Sure. How I started out when I was working for this one company, just to learn, I wanted to see if I would even like the business, to see what it was all about. Because I knew through my brokerage connections, I had the contacts to get the contracts. But I thought, okay, let's see if anybody's going to like this. So I went to work at night as a cleaner, and I did it for 3 months, and I did everything they asked me to do, and I tried to learn as much as I possibly could. The guy that was my supervisor, he wasn't all that talented, but he did have a good grasp on just the essentials. He also told me that he had a little side business, so he contracted on the side. So I thought, well, listen, I'll start my company, and I'll bring in as my first subcontractor, and that's exactly how I did it. I went out and got my first contract. It was paying $1,200 a month. I was paying out 30%. I was keeping 30%. I was paying 70% out, and I was off to the races. So I said I was making $1,000. I was keeping $300 for my very first account. Once I got that up and going, saw that it was working. Also, I was watching it like a hawk, because even when you subcontract it out, you can't just trust them. You got to watch them. And I was working day and night, kind of monitoring, and not doing the work, but following up on the work. And then I got my second, third, and before I knew it, I was up to $10,000 a month and bringing in $3,000 a month. And at that point, I think, okay, I need to start figuring out how to get to employees, because I'm just having too many little mom and pops. I can't control these independents. I need to get control of the company. So at a certain point, I got to the size where else in the properties I was going after to bid were bigger. They didn't want subcontractors. They wanted in-house employees, and they're out there. So sure enough, I got an operations director that I came across who dealt with employees. I'd never dealt with employees in the past, and he came on board and showed me exactly how to do it. I didn't have a clue. He started hiring employees, and there we go. We got one, two, and actually I have like 50 employees. And this thing just started snowballing. I had a good base of contact through my brokerage connections. But the key to the growth was the quality of the service. It wasn't about just trying to slap a low price, say I got a contract. It was all about making sure the tenants were happy, making sure the managers didn't get any phone calls from the tenants, and that the service was superior. And in a small size, you had the time to oversee it all without losing the control. So the service was excellent.
Well, I got to say, you're kind of the way you got there is real different than most of the people I talked about. It sounds like you had virtually no employees. You just had a lot of subcontractors, and you went right to kind of an operations manager. Where did you find that guy? And, you know, what, I don't know what it was back then, but if someone was going to try and make that transition, because I get that a lot, what does that guy or gal cost to get a legitimate person that can really run the operation side of it?
That's a great question. And really, let's kind of backtrack a little bit. You're getting this thing set up, you know, you're going to have some vendors around you. You're going to need to have a supplier. So that supplier is critical. For me, I hooked up with a young supply company that had a lot of history in the business and had a wealth of contacts. And through that wealth of contacts that they had, they would kind of tell me who was good, who wasn't good, who was happy where they were at, and who was not happy where they were at. So just through networking with my little vendors that I was buying my products from, I got a wealth of information, and I got to kind of cherry pick, or at least have a chance to cherry pick going after some top talent. And if I found out they weren't happy, you kind of found out why they weren't happy. Maybe they got passed over. Maybe they just weren't, they didn't get the increase they expected. Maybe they didn't, but whatever it is, they're just not happy. So I sat down with, at that point, a very top talented operations director and shared with him a vision and a dream and where I was going with this thing. And he bought into it. And it wasn't like I was going to pay him a ton of money, but as I got to the point where paying $35,000 starting wasn't a ton of money, but it was enough to get him. And at that point, when I went from subs to, I think it was about $15,000 a month when I brought my first operations director in. So again, I worked out of my house. I watched every nickel. I didn't waste a dime. I watched everything as closely as possible. I paid cash. I never tried to play with the credit cards. I'd pay cash wherever I could and just avoid all unnecessary expenses.
Well, and yeah, that's the nice thing about our industry is you can do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, everything's drop shipped. I mean, your supplies, you buy and you flip them and get a little markup and you're on your way.
All right, I got to tell you, before we go into the part where I'll coach you up on whatever you need, I don't want Cleaning Nation to miss. What I heard twice was it was all relationships. So again, I talk a lot about client attraction and marketing and sales, and that's all super important. But I think the foundational piece is you went in saying, I know people that know me, like me, trust me, and my life's going to be easy. And then when it came to finding employees, it was the same thing, right? It wasn't like I put an ad out. Not that you don't have to do all that stuff, but it sounds like the kind of high-level real game changers came from relationships that you had. So that sounds like that's – and ever since I've known you, Rich has always been a, oh, yeah, I've got – you know, want to come to the ball game. I've got season tickets. I'm taking my clients. You've always been that guy where, like, anytime you and I have been out, I think it's been – at some sort of property management party, and you're introducing me to people that know you, like you, and trust you. So, I think that's a great way to go about business.
Yeah, I mean, you can run ads in the paper, and it's always hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get. And even when you still go through a relationship or a good contact and give you a referral, you still don't know. But I put a little more credence in somebody saying, "I know this person, and they're worthwhile," versus me having somebody walking up an ad. So yeah, I try to find out who's out there and. You get focused on who's out there. And you guys, most of you guys you're talking, you're 0 to 1 million type size companies getting started. They're buying supplies, and they're not getting to know those vendors, their suppliers extremely well. They're missing out. Those people know everybody.
This dude is looking to take my job. That's exactly the feedback I give in my coaching. If you don't have a supplier, and a lot of guys are like, oh, I go to Target or I make my own or I just order from this place. It's like, no. You go down there, you shake that guy's hand, you bake him cookies, and you make sure that when a client comes up to bid or a good talent comes up to bid, you're the first and only guy on his Rolodex.
And also shop your vendors. Don't just get stuck with one vendor, especially if you're just starting out. Find the one vendor that's one going to believe in you and also going to be there for you. And start building that relationship. Because there's several vendors out there. And sometimes the really big companies, they don't want to mess with the little, small, independent. But the smart ones do.
Well, you know, little ProServe was a little guy. And now I'm pretty sure that most of the guys in town and probably some out of town would love your business. So yeah, I think it's very short-sighted to pass over the small guys. So yeah, I would definitely encourage you guys, Cleaning Nation, find someone that's not going to be worried that you're only doing $200,000-$300,000 a year in revenue, but kind of sees the vision that you've got, which it sounds like is how you grew, Rich.
Exactly right. As well as, again, I'm just thinking in terms of those earlier days, I hooked up with this. And another facet of the business was my banker. I hooked up with a banker and started, you know, got my first little loan and started meeting my little payroll needs. But I spent time to really cultivate and get to know that banker, and that paid off in spades. It's still the same banker I've had for the past 20 years. She's moved way up the ladder, and boy, am I glad I got her as my friend. You need a good banker. You need somebody there. Spend time, get to know your allies as you set up your business. It may seem foolish, like you just got a little banker and they don't really care about you. Find out who's actually making that decision, take them to lunch, look them in the eye, and let them know what your dreams are, where you're going to take this thing, and start building.
Yeah,
that's your accountant.
Such a good point.
Build the foundation.
So good. So yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. Relationship. If you need money,
every time,
build a relationship. If you need employees, build a relationship. If you need customers, build a relationship. That's fantastic, man. All right. So Rich, you're blowing my mind. I know, hopefully Cleaning Nation, if you're not getting this, if this isn't getting you fired up, you're in the wrong podcast, because Rich kind of just handed the keys to the kingdom. That said, I don't want to be a greedy host. What can I coach you up on, Rich? Is there any part of your business? And I know you're a big fat genius, so there's probably very little I can help you with,
I'm
here, man. How can I help?
I tell you, one thing that I'm very much amazed with your skill set is how you develop a culture within a company. I've seen your companies in the past. I've seen the people that work for you, and I see you as a true leader in the company. And I see the vibe that you get when you walk into your office or walk into the offices that I've seen in the past. I'm like, what is going on here? And why is everybody drinking this Kool-Aid? You're a true leader. And I'm always wondering, how do you create such a culture within the company where it's an upbeat, positive, and almost out-of-the-box type thinking mentality?
Man, thank you for that, because I've always been proud of the communities that we built. And I've enjoyed a lot of that. And that's part of the reason I came to the cleaning company, because, you know, I've had construction companies, car dealerships, I had a cleaning company. And of all of those, I think what I enjoy doing the most is culture. Like, Rich is fantastic at building relationships. You can't go anywhere with the guy without him having a conversation, and somebody's his buddy. And Phoenix isn't a small town, and Rich kind of knows everybody. And more importantly, everybody knows Rich. So I love that about you. And kind of, I think my talent is the ability to create culture, just like you said, culture and community and teams. And I do a ton of coaching on that very thing. And usually if I get asked to write an article or speak or do something, it's generally about culture. Because just like you said, people would come to my business and go, what is going on here? Everybody's happy and everybody's on the same page and everybody wants to get together. And it's funny because if you, the problem is it's like most things in business is at the beginning, it's a ton of work because you got to make kind of hard slash difficult slash unpopular decisions. And you kind of have to put culture first. So the foundation I would give you, and I give all my clients, is you got to get your core values first. So for us, it was have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And those are my personal core values that I had, and they've been with me for the last three companies, including Grow My Cleaning Company Now. That's what we're about, is have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So the cool thing is, and I learned a lot of this from Simon Sinek, and I think you know him, Rich, as well. And if you ever have a chance to read any of his books or stuff, Simon Sinek, the guy's awesome. He talks about the why and knowing, instead of just going into work to be like, hey, my job's to sell a car or clean a building or construct some sort of project, is really my job is what's the why? What's the why behind the what? And it's got to be something bigger in terms of, for us, it was helping out. It was having fun. It was being real. People love that they could come to the office, and if you came in on a Tuesday at noon, we were all playing foosball from the lowest paid guy to the highest paid guy, which sometimes was me. We'd all be playing foosball, and that's what we did between 12 and 12:30 on our lunch break. And it was a blast. And we didn't have to pretend like, oh, customers are here. Act important or act whatever. We'd say, hey, dude, come on, let's play some foosball. Did you bring any beer? What's going on? So the kind of culture really starts with the foundation of your core value. So know who you are. Be very clear about those in all of your advertising and all of your website and all of your hiring interviews and all of your everything, whether it's advertising for customers, employees, a banker. You can see one of Rich's core values is community, right? No, you know, being connections and helping. And he's always a helper adder. Rich is never a, hey, what can you do for me? It's a lot of how can I help and serve you? I mean, this dude, like we talked about, he's on the beach drinking Coronas, stopped everything to call help a friend and talk to Cleaning Nation, you know, and that's awesome. So long story short, I think Rich, the foundation I'd give you in Cleaning Nation is know who you are, be very, very clear on those core values. Be consistently loud with them in all of your advertising, all of your marketing, and then who you are. So my favorite thing I would hear, and this is when you know you're doing it right, is when people, it doesn't matter, customers, employees, applicants, bankers, vendors, anyone comes to your office after seeing your website or kind of seeing any of your advertising or anything you've put out and goes, oh my gosh, you guys are actually just like it was on the website. This is, you're consistent. You really are who you are. That's when you know you have it right. So just know your core values, be really loud with them, be really consistent with them. And the cool thing is, instead of having to force people to drink the Kool-Aid, the only people that'll be attracted and want to show up have already drunk the Kool-Aid. So they're on the same page as you. They're like, have fun at work and be real and just be loud and proud that you try to make money at this thing. We can do that. That's what I want. I've always wanted that, but I had to be professional. I couldn't do that. So they're already fired up. And the people that are super professional, like, oh my gosh, you can't play foosball and drink at work, they're not going to be interested. They're not even going to show up. So the cool thing is, once you kind of get this flywheel moving of all these core values, the right people show up. The wrong people aren't interested, and it looks like on the outside that, wow, all these people are drinking the Kool-Aid, and really, they were drinking the Kool-Aid before I showed up. I just had a big, loud banner saying, this is what we're about, and everybody that was about that wanted to be a part, and it was awesome, because we had to, you know, even in cleaning companies, people would come to us, hey, when can I be a part? Do you have any job openings? I wish I could work for a place like that, and that's a really good place to be when we have so many employees.
I think the happy employee is the best employee, and I saw a lot of happy people in your office. And they were focused and working. I mean, you guys had your moments of fun, but they were also driven and focused because you gave them the proper incentives to do it. I mean, you really, really could get a good program.
Yeah, and the cool thing
you
is...
Know, again, back on the cleaning side of it, you know, for these cleaning companies, they're going to have a lot of, you know, let's say minimum wage type plus labor working at night. And do you want to spend time to get out to know all those people? And the answer is yes, you do. You do want to go out. You do want to meet the extra cleaners doing the work. That's the key. I mean, we always, every year we throw a company picnic. We invite the families out there with their kids, and we spoil them the best we can. I mean, whether that means like TV giveaways, prizes, whatever we have to do to make them feel special, because they are. Thank God. You know, in the early days, and I'm sure many of your people that listen to this understand, there's times people don't show up. There's times you're going to have to go out there and clean. And it's not a lot of fun, especially now you're in a panic mode because you're going to have to work throughout the night to get this thing done. Yep. And it happens. So when you get somebody to come and clean for you, thank God, and treat them with complete respect and dignity because they deserve it. And that's exactly how I feel today. We have 300 employees, and boy, do I love them all. And I don't say that in jest. They're phenomenal people. It's hard work what we're asking them to do, and we show them with respect. Yeah, Christmas time is here. Every employee has got a Christmas ham. I got a special handwritten note on a card. We're glad they're with the company. And we have turnover. There's no question we have turnover. It's nature of the beast. But take care of the people. You're going to eventually get a core that's really going to carry you.
And the cool thing is, I've been to your place, Rich, and when I walked in, there wasn't a lot of, hello, Mr. Lyons, or averting of the eyes. Hey, Rich, how you doing? And that's the lowest paid guy or gal all the way up to, you know, people that, you know, are directly under you. And I really like that, because a lot of times I go to places and I see business owners and it's kind of this deferential, like Mr. Whomever. And that I love that you just walked in and was like, Rich, what's going on? It really was that, like, this is a friend of mine who's my boss and I respect, of course, but I'm glad to see him and he's another human being, not just some jerk that, you know, tells me what to do.
Right. And again, and it is, Rich. And if when I walk out to a property, you know, a lot of times I'm at a property at night because there's a problem and I got to make sure the problem's going to go away. And it's escalated to that point. But the truth is, you don't want to just be there just when there's a problem. So you got to go out there when they're doing a great job and pat them on the back. You want to make sure they understand that just what they're doing is making a difference. It means a lot to the company. And it means a lot to their future as well. You keep a good eye on the people that are doing well for you and give you a chance to promote.
Man, such a good point.
They'll do it.
All right. Before we hit the lightning round, and we're going way over, but I can't help it. You're so smart. I can't cut you off. So before we hit the lightning round, you got to tell me, this is one of my favorite stories and we didn't talk about this beforehand. So I'm hoping you remember it. I don't make myself look like a jerk. So when you first started, you said you were too small. You didn't have any money. You could hardly buy, you know, all these other companies that you're competing with were buying these properties. Yeah. Tell me how you handled Christmas as a tiny company.
Okay. I shared this story. I just shared this story recently in my office with the team, because, you know, now it's holiday time. We're passing our Christmas gifts to the clients. And in the early days, there was no money to pass out Christmas gifts to the clients, but I'd go and visit their office and I'd see the Christmas wine bottles and gifts and baskets and all that stuff. And I said, you know, we're just getting started. And this year, I'm not here to give out a commercial or give you a special gift. I'm just here to give you a little holiday hug and thank you personally to the business. And I'm giving out holiday hugs and it worked. People love the holiday hug.
That is
a couple of years, but I didn't even have to buy gifts.
That is my favorite. Go ahead.
I would hug them. I'd look them in the eye, and I again, straight in all sincerity, tell them how much I appreciate their business, and they saw it, they felt it, and it wasn't about here's a gift. So if you give a little holiday hug, it goes a long way. At least it did for me.
I can't emphasize that enough. I just came back from our cabin today. We went to our mailbox. We've been gone like a week, and it's stuffed with a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, hey. You know, my wife grabbed it. What's in there? And she's like, oh, just a bunch of Christmas cards. And again, not to be dismissive about our friends that were kind enough to send a card, but there's 100 cards, right? And you get gifts and it's all fine. It's all great. But I can't think of one person that, and you said a couple things that were key. You gave them a hug, which is so nice. It's so not like, oh, I'm the this and you're the that. It's like, you're a human being. I'm a human being. I appreciate you. Here's a hug. I don't have the money to give you a gift. I promise you, I could probably go back to 100% of the people that you gave your holiday hug to, 95%+ would remember that and couldn't name a single other gift they got that year. So, I mean, how many people get a hug from people that aren't like family, B, get looked right in the eye and say, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you. That's as a human. Thank you. Good Lord. That's awesome, Rich.
Yeah, another key point early days when I was doing the subcontracting, as I was getting ready to transition to employees, I literally met a client who became a friend. I met Simona Barr. She turns out she's a property manager. And she likes me. And she has a building and she says, I'm going out to bid. At the time, I'm doing 10 to 20,000 square foot office space, commercial size office spaces and buildings. And she has a building that's about 90,000 square feet. I go walk the property and I can tell I'm going to get this account. There's no problem. I'm going to get this account. The problem is I don't have the manpower to provide the service that I want to be able to provide. And I see this is a huge opportunity, and it's a pivotal point. I have to call her up and tell her that as much as I love the opportunity here, I'm not ready. And I backed off on that. Now, she was an assistant manager for the property at the time. She told her boss of just what happened, how she was going to award it to this guy. He backed off saying he's not ready. Her boss says, keep that guy's name and number because that's the kind of guy you want to work with. The irony now, within 12 months, the company that was awarded that contract that I passed on sells to a bigger fish. ABM came and bought this company. All the employees that were there are now unhappy with ABM. I get a call from that manager saying, hey, I want you to talk to this operations director. She has all these people that she's looking to place. Within a year's time, I picked up that contract with employees that I didn't even have at that point in time, 12 months ago. It's weird how this whole karma thing does work, but it does put you believe in the good things happening, but also try to make sure you don't just take something to take it. Make sure you can deliver. So that was a pivotal point. That was a game changer for me right there where I passed on a big account. And I thought, boy, I may be missing my biggest opportunity at that point in time. It turned out to be my best move by passing on a big account that I wasn't ready for.
Yeah, I think that
it paid off.
I think that ties into what we've been talking about. A, relationship, right? I really do think one of your core values, whether it's out loud or just in your heart, is relationships. And you value that relationship and treating that person right above a couple bucks in your pocket. And two,
yeah.
just do the right thing. And like you said earlier, you got to provide good service. And your core value was, I've got to provide good service. And you lived that above and beyond. I need, you know, X amount of dollars in my pocket today. And long term, again, that's exactly what I was trying to say when I said sometimes you have to make unpleasant, unfun decisions to live the core values. That's exactly what you did. In short term, it probably stung more than a little. But long term, that's been very profitable, I'm sure, emotionally, financially, all the way around.
Oh, yeah, it turned out to be a great move. Another, I think, another key for myself, and everyone's different, but for me, my goal is to just stay focused, because you're going to get thrown a bunch of opportunities to get caught and start doing this over there. Just figure out exactly what your skill set's going to be. Ours was going to be basically day quartering and nighttime cleaning of commercial office space. That did not include that I wanted to clean preschools. It did not include that I wanted to clean do the late shifts, the movie theaters. I mean, and those opportunities came my way. I just stayed focused, and I passed on things that I thought were going to kind of take me off the focus. And maybe it was too much laser focus at times. Maybe you do need to broaden it a little bit. But I think if you're getting started, hit your niche and don't get off it. Stay focused on it.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I'm so constantly trying to explain less customers equals more money. Everybody thinks the more people I serve, the more opportunity I have, the bigger I can get. And I just, it's so hard to communicate. That's small guy thinking. The big guys know they're going to own a niche and that's just them. And they're going to be the best in the world at it. And nobody will be able to compete with them. And again, sometimes you say no to restaurants or movie theaters that get out at midnight or, you know, any
of that. Right. Exactly. And restaurants, and by the way, movie theaters, preschools, and even restaurants. It's a great niche, but it wasn't my niche. So I didn't want to get caught up in that.
Yeah, so you're not saying Cleaning Nation don't clean restaurants. You're saying don't clean outside of your niche.
Exactly.
Man, I really hope Cleaning Nation that you guys are listening to this. And the cool thing is a podcast, go back and re-listen, because Rich is dropping, he's making it sound easy, but it ain't. He's dropping some real huge bombs here that are just stuff that I kind of, I don't want to say wrestle with, but encourage my clients to do every day, day in, day out. This is the stuff I get paid a ton of money for. Rich is doing it for free. Rich, you're a rock star. That said, go ahead.
Well, and most importantly, though, Mike, is always, for the people that are there going to hear this, make sure you enjoy what you're doing. Make sure you have a passion for it, that you really do care about, one, the quality, you care about the people you're working with, your clients as well as your employees, and make sure you have a love for it. If you don't, guys, you're wasting your time.
Well, and again, you mentioned earlier, there are going to be times you're going to be slopping a mop bucket at 2 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday, and that's not where you want to be. And if you don't love this business, that's a hard ask. It's a hard ask if you love it. If you don't, I don't know how people stay in the business.
Well, but I did love the fact that it is 2 a.m. and get the register still ringing. So it felt pretty good knowing that.
Yeah. I love how you look at stuff, Rich. That's very few people would look at it that way. I think that's the proper way to look at it. But most people don't get that. All right, dude, I could talk. You know, you and I have talked for hours, but that may annoy our loyal listeners. So let me hit you with the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. I have zero doubt you're going to give me three phenomenal answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Pay cash.
I love that. So many little guys are like, hey, how can I get a loan? And how can I get this? And how can I get that? I'm like, dude, fix your business model. Let's worry about first things first. Nothing happens until someone makes a sale. Yeah. Well said. All right. I'm dying to hear this because I don't even know if I know the answer. So I'm actually going to sit and enjoy and listen. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that you can share with Cleaning Nation so they can maybe save themselves some gray hair?
Well, I'm sure there's many of them, but the one that comes to mind is we had a contract for a high-rise. We had it for a long time. They're going to go out to bid. The manager tells me not to worry about a thing. They're just going to go out to bid and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out to go out to bid, and next I get the phone call saying, hey, we're going to make a change. We have this other company, blah, 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 blah. I said, that's fine, because you know, you're going to lose accounts. That's just going to be part of the business, and I'm okay with that. But I was also picking up another property where I had a base or place for all these employees that were there to move them to another building. So I tell the client, that's fine, we're going to finish strong, but please know everyone in the property has a home with ProServe. We're going to shift them to another property. Well, that very night, that manager lets the competitor into the property and hold court with all my employees and try to recruit all my employees, which I was just livid about. Because there's a certain amount of ethics that I play with, and I don't chase employees that way. I just typically don't. If there's a way to do it, there's a wrong way and a right way. That's the wrong way.
Wow.
So I call up the manager the next day, and I was a little bit upset. And I kind of questioned her directly. I said, why would you do that? We just talked about this. And I said, I mean, isn't it a little question of ethics? So I put her in a corner, and I regret that. I should have just took the hit and she'll let her be because, what, did she badmouth me for months? It turns out for years. I mean, she badmouthed me because of that. I put her in a corner and it's like, nobody's going to put the client in the corner. So be very, very cautious on when you push back with the client. When they say that the client's always right, well, I don't always agree with that, but I got to respect it more than I did that particular day. And I regret how that went down because that cost me business down the road with references and referrals. So, man, it was a mistake on my end.
That's such a good, and again, if we look at your core values, it's like the relationship at that point wasn't more important than what she'd done. And it probably, I don't want to say felt good, but you know, at the time, and I've done that where I've lost my temper and said something to someone I really shouldn't have.
Yeah. And it wasn't a shouting match. It wasn't anything, you know, blatant or name calling. It was just a question of ethics. And I kind of put her in a corner on it I would never do that again to a client. And, you know, I just take your hit. She made a bad decision. Sometimes live with those and take your hits. So, yeah, that was a mistake on my end.
Man, that's
so much so when I had the property go up for bid later, it's funny. I'm chasing another big property. The guy that I'm meeting with to talk to, he says, Rich, why does this woman hate you so much? I said, what? Oh. He says, because there's another company that's bidding here and had this woman down as a reference. And when I called her for a reference for the other company, all she did was badmouth you.
Wow. Gosh, that hurts.
Yeah.
And yeah. not money-wise, just emotionally. Like, that would hurt my feelings. Like, I can't believe I work so hard to please this person, and they're just around town badmouthing me. It would really make me sad.
Lessons learned. It was a mistake, and I won't do it again.
All right. Well, you give me that. You give me her number, Rich. I'll call her. I'll make it right.
that was about 15 years ago, and it still bothers me.
You know, that's such good advice. So if you're about ready to unload on somebody, an employee, a spouse, a customer, and you know that it's just to make you feel good and it's not the right thing, listen to, you know, learn from Rich 15 years ago. It still bums them out. I feel your pain, brother. All right, let's turn the corner. Last question. Go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead.
What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to most drastically improve their lives and or their business?
Yeah, I would say this, guys. I mean, the first thing is to keep the business first and foremost. But I'm going to tell you right now, put your family first and foremost. Don't let the business take over your life, and because it can and it will, and it will destroy relationships. Put your family first and keep your family there.
Man, you are
a guy who's important.
You were so consistent.
Take a guy who's in Puerto Rico with his brother.
Yeah. I just love that you're still like relationships. Put the relation. The business is important, but put relationships above the business. And man, I really think that's going to serve you your whole life. Rich, thank you so much for joining us, especially from Puerto Rico. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I so much appreciate you, my friend. If you were here, you would have your holiday hug. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Rich's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.